I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Taco Tuesday!
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
Oh, the jokes are coming fast and furious every time y'all talk about this guy.
With Landry Locker.
Landry, I mean, you're going to be in midday forever now.
And John Lopez.
On occasion, Lopez makes a statement that's so ludicrous, it makes me pick my phone up and call you guys.
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader.
Your champ, 6 p.m.
Sports Radio 6 p.m.
Is the list complete? The search continues. John McClain joining the show at 10:35. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We've had two sleeps since the best football weekend ever. We'll see if John McClain agrees to that. But it looks like the Texans coaching search is shaping up. Unless they're still going to put in some requests, it looks like it's shaping up. It looks like Jonathan Gannon is the front runner. Is the list complete? And if so, John, your reaction to what the Texans have done up to this point?
Yeah. Look, I think it's weird around the NFL that we are at this point in the season and there hasn't been a single coaching announcement or report yet. So it's kind of dragging on a little bit across the league with the Texans in particular. I touched on this yesterday. And I kind of, you know, just kind of went in and looked at it a little closer yesterday evening. And it just boggles my mind that the legacy and history of this organization is not even being respected a little bit more. They could absolutely hire the next great, you know, Kyle Shanahan. They could hire the next great Matt LaFleur. Out of the list that we've seen, but Kyle Shanahan and Matt LaFleur and Robert Saleh and Mike McDaniel and D'Amico Ryans and Vance Joseph, who's getting an interview with Miami, were all in this building. They were all in this building. They were all on the staff. Five of them at the same time with the greatest coach. And I know you have to use that term loosely because of the organization and its history, but the greatest coach in this organization's history, Gary Kubiak. And I just, you know, when you want to separate yourself from Patriot South, why aren't you a little more true to the Houston Texans and at least get some of these interviews? And Mike McDaniel and D'Amico Ryans and Vance Joseph might be total flops.
I mean, if interviewing Vance Joseph would make you feel better, that seems like a reach, doesn't it?
All I'm saying is the Miami Dolphins are interviewing him. He's gotten interviews before, much like...
So you would feel better about him if they interviewed Vance Joseph?
That's not what I said.
No, but I'm asking, like, what does the legacy have to do with it, and what would a Vance Joseph... Like, you would just feel... Why do you want to get back to what the legacy is of this organization? Like, what does that do in the big scheme of things?
I think you need to respect your own history. You had guys in the building that have been proving... repeatedly, including right now as we speak, that they're damn good head coaches, and they served under Gary Kubiak. You need to respect your history a little bit to at least hear what they have to say. They've worked with these guys. They've worked with Kyle Shanahan, and they've worked with Matt LaFleur. And so I think it's again, I want to make it clear. The guys they have could be awesome. These guys could be flops. But history tells us that Gary Kubiak knew how to develop head coaches and how to get them on the path, because we got three right now in the league that were on his staff. And I just feel like I'm not jumping up and down and say, oh, you guys stink. I just think it's very peculiar that when you're trying to get away from this whole Patriots South thing that Cal McNair talked about, that you're not even, you know, honoring or not even, oh, that's a bad word, that you're not even respecting, you know, the guys that came through your own pipeline.
The question I would ask on the Patriots South thing, because you keep bringing this up, is there's one guy that you can connect to Patriots South that's on the list. So
right.
How are they not getting away from the Patriots South thing with the guys that they've interviewed? That's another question I would ask.
Well, I think the obvious answer there is it's not necessarily through the pipeline, but through the people who have that connection, like Jack Easterby and Nick Caserio. They are very well connected with these candidates. I think all of them, who am I missing that maybe doesn't have a connection directly to them? But I think you're missing, you know, part of it is just listen to what they have to say. They've been proven. They're your own guys. They have a connection to you. They have an affinity for this city. They've worn the uniform. They know the building. They know what this organization and previous ownership and you know has wanted. That's all I'm saying.
Is that what we're trying to get back to? Is what it was when Kubiak was here? Because that's the thing. Like, should the Raiders be interviewing like old Raiders? Because it seems like whenever, even on like a larger scale, like whenever like you have the Cowboys trying to connect to like old Cowboys, or you have the Raiders trying to connect to old Raiders, like should the Texans be striving to get back to what they were during the Kubiak days, or shouldn't they be trying to take it like another direction?
Absolutely, they should take it higher.
So what would the benefit be of talking to McDaniel, Ryans? I think the best case for Ryans is he just might be the best guy for the job. But as far as like the history, like talking to Vance Joseph, talking to Mike McDaniel, my question would be like, what is the overall benefit? What would that show you? How would that make you feel any better? Because I think if these guys were on the list, I wouldn't feel any better. I wouldn't feel any worse about the way that the Texans were heading and what direction they were going.
You said you would feel better about Mike McDaniel.
I've never said that. I've said I like Mike McDaniel and I'm intrigued by Mike McDaniel. I wonder if Mike McDaniel can be a head coach. I don't know if his personality fits.
Well, him. I wonder if any
I've
of
said
these guys.
No, I've never said that I think Mike McDaniel would be a head coach. I said I'm intrigued by him. I've never said that.
I don't think we know anything about any of these guys. And it's not just, hey, they were Texans, they deserve an interview. No, it's a combination of things. You say that they should take it a step higher. You should expect them and you would want them, and I do want them to take it a step higher. Kyle Shanahan has. He's done exactly that. LaFleur has.
So is it more about trying to get on the Shanahan pipeline? Because I've heard Wade Smith talk about that. He wants some of what they're having. And I think indirectly you have Kevin O'Connell there. So wouldn't it be more about trying to get on the Kyle Shanahan pipeline? Or is this about Texans history and knowing your history?
Well, the Kyle Shanahan pipeline is the Kubiak pipeline. And that's what I'm saying. And by the way, You asked me would I want them to get back to what they were with Gary Kubiak? Yes, that would be a great start to be able to play at that level and have a 11-1 record going into Schaub's injury, 12-1 whatever it was, the best team in the AFC. Yeah, that'd be a hell of a start. I'd like that. And I think the bigger point is it's not just their Texans, interview them. It's their Texans. They know this building. They know how this organization operates. They come from a pipeline that has put three head coaches in conference championship. Well, two head coaches in conference championships, and another with the Jets. They've been to the Super Bowl. They know the Kubiak way. They bring in the offense. It's not just, oh, they're former Texans, interview them. No, it's a lot more than that.
Doesn't O'Connell kind of get connected to that pipeline?
A little bit, yes.
He is a McVay offensive coordinator, so he's kind of in there.
Yeah.
I think there's like, it almost seems like there's like such an apathy and such a like just distaste for the Texans, rightfully so, to where there's really no line sometimes for the criticism that comes with it. Like the Patriot South thing, like I don't see the Patriot South thing going on in this process. I think it might actually be a better thing if they were interviewing Jerod Mayo and Josh McDaniels were on this list. But I'm not seeing the Patriot, way pipeline as much as I thought they would. I'm seeing all signs pointing to Jonathan Gannon. And I actually, maybe I should have seen this coming because I've been mentioning the name Bubba Ventrone. Jonathan Gannon did work with him for 3 years, and we've been talking about the Colts. He was with the Colts for 3 years, but I think bringing in Jonathan Gannon, I think that almost like, I don't know if it eliminates, but I think you have to try very hard to connect some dots to make Jonathan Gannon part of like a Patriot way type of thing.
That would be probably the one exception, that there's not a connection to directly to Easterby and Casario.
O'Connell.
Right.
O'Connell would be too. And wouldn't O'Connell and Gannon?
Well, I think Gannon has that tight relationship with Casario, but you can set that aside. I mean, it's widely acknowledged they've been very, very tight for a long time.
With what?
I mean, that's what's been reported, that they've known each other for years. I'm not saying he coached with the Patriots, but I just feel like, you know, you're kind of shortchanging yourself when you do this. You know, I like to be able to interview as many potential candidates as possible, whether it's no connection, and I think you get points if you have the connection and everything, all those things that I just laid out earlier that are more than just they wore the jersey or they wore the coaching hat. I think you have to interview as many as you can. And the Texans, frankly, when you look at some of the top candidates, they're not mentioned with the top candidates. Are they all going to be? We don't know how they're going to play out, but they're not mentioned with them.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. John McClain joining us at 10:35. We've had two sleeps since the divisional round. Looking back, if there were any result you could change that would add to the viewing of Championship Sunday, if I could let John Lopez change one thing that happened this Saturday or Sunday, what would that one thing be?
I think the Rams, believe it or not, we're going to get to the Bills and Chiefs again, of course, because I think that was about as heartbreaking a loss as there will ever be in the NFL and has ever been. And I'm including the Oilers' loss to the Bills in that conversation. But I think the Rams, when they showed that they can get in their own heads, now I know it was Tom Brady, and he might get in everybody's head, but I thought the Rams were dominant in the first round, dominant for much of the second game here, and then they kind of wilted a little bit. I think the Rams need that jolt again. I think they should, and I'm not a Rams fan, but I want to see them at their best, and I think they are one of the best teams. They clearly are one of the best teams around, but I think the Rams took a step where there's a little doubt that had creeped in, and you kind of have to question just what they have moving forward.
I would have wanted the Bills to win. I want to rid myself of the Chiefs. I don't see the Bengals having much of a chance. I think it would make my playoffs if the Bengals could off the Chiefs. But I wanted the Bills to get the job done. I wanted to be talking about Bengals versus Bills. That would have been my dream scenario if I could change one result. I'm tired of the Chiefs.
That's a fine. I mean, that's a great pick as well. I don't know why I feel such sympathy. Maybe it's because I've been through so many of those heartbreaks myself as an Oilers and a Texans fan. But I just think that it's hard to come back from that, man. Just as a fan.
Well, I mean, they were the victims of the Music City Miracle,
yep,
against the Titans, and then they're the victims of that loss to the Chiefs. It's definitely hard out there for a Bills fan. You also got to deal with some of the worst weather in the world. John McClain coming up in 25 minutes for his weekly visit presented by Horn Solution. But coming up, there's a lot of things that are going to be difficult for Nick Casario to fix, but there's an easy, easy, easy fix that Nick needs to fix yesterday. We'll talk about it next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's a lot of things that aren't easy to fix around here when it comes to what's in front of Nick Caserio, but there's one thing he's got to fix, and if he doesn't, then he's going to lose a supporter, quite honestly. Just like the old man will go up to the manager and say, you just lost a customer, or Bill in Friendswood will get upset and say, you just lost a listener. You're going to lose a supporter, Nick, if you don't fix this, because this is an easy, easy fix. I'll tell you what it is in a sec. Before that, though, there's a few myths being squashed by teams that are participating this weekend that I think are mindsets of the recent past and maybe the future that concern me about the Houston Texans if the goal is to maximize on-field production and compete to go to a Super Bowl like these teams are doing.
Numero uno.
Number one, it all starts with the offensive line. My God, Bill O'Brien invested more into the offensive line than I can remember. Laremy Tunsil, two firsts and a second. What an idiotic trade that was. Max Sharping, second rounder. Meh. Titus Howard, first round. We'll see. He's a better tweeter than he is offensive lineman. Right? Oh, he's a volume tweeter. I don't want to call him a good tweeter, but he likes to tweet a lot. It doesn't start with the offensive line. It starts with the damn quarterback. Deshaun Watson was the lipstick on the pig for the Texans for many years. You won 11 games with a crappy offensive line before you made those investments. You won 10, and then you won a divisional round game against the Buffalo Bills because Deshaun saved your butt. That wasn't about the offensive line. The offensive line didn't instill their will against Buffalo. Deshaun Watson saved your butt, just like Andrew Luck did early in his career when he was basically spitting blood at halftime. He saved your butt. So this, you got to invest in the offensive line. It all starts with the offensive line. I'm not saying you ignore it, but it is a myth. See the Cincinnati Bengals, who got sacked 9 times, but because Joey Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, who they decided to select over the top left tackle in the previous draft, because they were able to make plays and because they were able to overcome the flaws of the offensive line, they're playing in a game that the Texans have never played in their entire history. So myth number one, don't give me this, it starts with the offensive line. Yes, you want guys who can block, but the quarterback is the lipstick on the pig of mistakes and shortcomings of rosters and football teams.
Numero dos.
Number two, right kind of guy, bullcrap. And I'm not sitting here saying that you need to welcome Jeffrey Dahmer and O.J. Simpson to NRG. Hell, I'm not sitting here saying that you shouldn't have some sort of standards and you shouldn't look into things. But you should be willing to give young men a second chance.
He's a great teammate.
A lot of guys make mistakes when they're young men. They get the world thrown at them in college. A lot of times they make mistakes that are unforgivable. But these are football players. These are people. If you pride yourself on culture and you surround guys with question marks with the right people, they thrive and they take your team to where we're going to see on Sunday and what we're going to see on Sunday. I'm talking about Jeffrey Simmons of the Tennessee Titans. Had moderate character concerns coming out of Mississippi State. Also had the injury concerns. He's not the reason Tennessee isn't advancing. He had 3 sacks. Jeffrey Simmons, one of the best players in the league right now. I'm talking about Tyreek Hill, 5th-round pick. Oklahoma State had to go the JUCO route. Look, you can say what you want about Tyreek Hill. You surround him with the right type of people, or you're willing to endure whatever backlash there is. Chiefs don't win that game on Sunday without Tyreek Hill. I'm talking about Joe Mixon, running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. Only touchdown the Bengals scored on Saturday was Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon had his altercation. I'm not condoning it. All I'm saying is young men make mistakes. You give them a second chance. You give them some love. You give them some support. I think Marvin Lewis was the guy who originally looked out for him. You can get the most of these guys, and I think a second chance is something that is just as motivational as just abandoning a young man when he makes a mistake. So myth number one, it all starts with the offensive line. Myth number two,
the right kind of guy stuff, you can develop the right kind of guys, especially if you're going to pride yourself on culture. What kind of culture are you creating if everybody that comes into it has to be a finished product? That's not a culture. That is not what second chances are about, and that's not what a culture is about. Culture is supposed to bring out the best in people. So I think you can look at these teams that are playing on Sunday and one that isn't, not because of the guy, and that's something that I think needs to be squashed as well.
I agree. I think there are different kind of things to look at here. With the culture thing, I think it's important to note you have to have a culture that can absorb guys like this and help them develop into something that they weren't before, or at least manage their personalities. You still need a culture, but you need an organization whose culture can absorb and help these guys and help them fit in. Like to have a culture like, we would never touch these guys, that's not a winning NFL culture. It's a culture, but it's one that actually limits you. I mean, there's no other way to put it.
There are some things about the Patriot way that I think are copied that I don't think work out well. But if there's anything that's going to be copied from New England here, I would love for it to be willing to bring in guys into your culture and surround them in the right environment. Nick Caserio was in New England when they brought in Antonio Brown. It didn't work out, but they were willing to take the risk. They were willing to bring in Albert Haynesworth. There were questions about Corey Dillon. They were willing to bring him in. Hell, Jack Easterby, one of his tasks was basically following Josh Gordon around and making sure he didn't puff on the Marahucci.
Right.
He was warming up with him before games. So of all the things you're going to copy from New England, I would love to see some of these guys brought in, and maybe that would be the best representation of culture. Number three, and this is the easiest fix and the most important.
Numero tres.
Whatever the bleep their running back philosophy is here and has been, get rid of that. It's a joke. Okay, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to hire a coach. I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to run an offense. Whatever the hell you guys are doing at running back is an absolute joke. Okay?
Hey, it's David Johnson from the Houston Texans here with my good friend Toro.
The Texans had three guys on their roster at the running back position that were over the age of 30 this year. Of all the players, all the running backs on rosters, I'm counting every single running back that is on a roster this weekend. There are 16 of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one 30-year-old. Not one. Zero. There are 16 running backs on rosters, and not one of them is 30. The oldest one is Jerick McKinnon with the Kansas City Chiefs. He's 29 years old. They've also invested in running backs. They don't take scraps. They don't take Rex Burkhead after a torn Achilles, who was a third-string running back at best. They don't bring in Mark Ingram with 11 years of experience. Hell, you want to talk about 11 years of experience? Every running back, I'm even counting Deebo Samuel. Every running back on the San Francisco roster has 11 years of experience. That's as many as Mark Ingram has alone.
The other part of that is, it's actually a part of that, is the whole plug-and-play philosophy at running back. If you know that you can find a running back in the third round. We've talked about that in the past, but I think it's being illustrated right now. You got to have running backs that can actually play at the highest level.
Let me just lay this out for you, man. There are different forms of finding a running back, but you got to put some damn effort into it.
Right.
You don't just bring in Burkhead, Ingram, David Johnson. Joe Mixon, second round pick out of Oklahoma, fifth year in the league. Samaje Perine, fifth year, fourth round pick. Chris Evans, he's a rookie. They took him in the sixth. Travion Williams out of Texas A&M, third year. He was a sixth round pick. Let's go to Kansas City. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he was a first round pick 2 years ago. Jerick McKinnon, they took him from San Francisco. He's 29 years old. Darrell Williams is in his fourth year. They have another rookie in Derek Gore. Los Angeles Rams, they traded a fifth and a sixth for Sony Michel. He's in his fourth year. He was a first round pick. Cam Akers, second year, second round. They got some special teams guys that are young guys. We won't count them. Deebo Samuel, third year, he's a second round pick. Elijah Mitchell, he's a rookie, he's a sixth round pick. Jamichael Hasty, he's in his second season. Jeff Wilson, he's in his fourth season. Trey Sermon didn't even play this year. He was a third round pick the previous year. Does Kyle Shanahan know what the F he's doing when it comes to running the ball? You sit there and tell me you want to run the ball. Bullcrap. You don't want to run the ball when you have David Johnson and Mark Ingram here. Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball. You know why I believe Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball?
He's got him.
Because he has Deebo Samuel, who he plays at running back, who he drafted in the second round. He has Elijah Mitchell, who he drafted in the sixth. He has Jamichael Hasty in his second season. And he drafted Trey Sermon in the third round this year out of Ohio State. So don't tell me you want to run the ball. If you want to run the ball, do something about this damn running back thing. There's a lot of things that aren't going to be easy to fix. Fix this, Nick. It ain't hard. Fix it. Going to the retirement home for running backs.
Well, and
makes
that,
me sick.
And that's more than a one-year project as well. But you just illustrated it.
I think you can do this immediately.
You can get one.
I think you can get multiples. You can handle this right now. San Francisco drafted Sermon and Mitchell. Sermon got hurt. They would have immediately fixed this. You can fix this right now. You just have to pay attention.
Offensive line, running back, and getting the right kind of guys. That last one to me really stands out. When you talk about culture, you got to build a culture that can actually help these guys. And if you don't, then you Antonio Brown them.
What's the point of Jackie Ushabee and Nick Caserio being here? If you're going to bring something from New England, bring me that mindset where you're willing to roll the dice on guys. And my God, fix the running back position. It's not difficult, okay? Stay below 30, invest something in it, okay? Not a good start so far with Rex Burkhead. If he wants to be the third or fourth, that's fine, but you got to do better than that. And I damn sure better not hear about David Johnson coming back. John McClain is back, courtesy of Horn Solutions. He's looking sharp. He's looking so sassy. And I can't wait to talk to him. John McClain in the building next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Flying Saucer Draft Emporium. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
John McClain is in the building. My gosh, you got cotton mouth. Those eyes are red and you got cotton mouth. You are high on football. You are just high on football.
Let me tell you something else I'm high on. Baseball Hall of Fame today, and I just read one of the greatest statistics I've ever read. I've always thought Billy Wagner should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no.
He was an outstanding closer, and I watched almost every game he had with the Astros. And a stat I read today, he had more strikeouts in the ninth inning than any pitcher ever had in any inning.
That numbers are hot.
Every fireballer, none had as many strikeouts in any inning as Wagner did in the ninth. That shows what a closer's supposed to do, so I hope he makes it. Don't think he will, but I hope he does.
Should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame? 713-572-4610. John McClain just throwing out all the Hall of Fame takes here. You are
not
high on football, though.
I'm high on football, baseball. I'm high on everything.
But you're high on football because
how
of
this can you
weekend.
Not be out of what just happened?
Was that the best football weekend
by
ever?
Greatest weekend in history of the professional football and maybe the greatest weekend in the history of any sport, considering every game was so exciting down to the last play.
Where'd you watch it?
Right in front of my small screen TV.
John, when are we going to get you that big TV? That's the saddest thing going on here.
Well, a friend of mine, Glenn Ballard, local attorney, bought a 80-inch TV, and we
That's
went over
need.
To watch. And you talk about being spoiled. I told Carol, she didn't say anything. I said, that's like, you know, you watching a porno movie, and then you're coming back to me. Yeah. That's the way that big TV was.
You got a little Ron Jeremy vibe.
And, I'd like to be looking at that big one. It's like you're right there. It's like you're on the golf course and everything else, but it's just not
John,
big.
At what point, because your TV is what, like 28 inches? 30?
32.
That's a joke.
Might be 28.
At what point?
It fits perfectly in an armoire that our late cats, Sox and Buster, used to like to get up on the top. Now, our current cat, Shadow, doesn't give a damn about the armoire. So I told Carol, let's just move it in another room. Let's get a big TV. She says, no.
At what point? At what point in John McClain's life?
Do we get divorced?
Life, yes. at what point do you
play? If it hadn't happened by now, John.
At what point do you play the do you know who the hell I am card? John McClain watching TV on a 32-inch.
Maybe 28.
Is a disgrace.
Also, she said, well, we'll get one for our home in Maryland. I said, that's a start. Then we need one in Florida, and then we'll want one here.
There we go. There we go.
So why can't you put your foot down?
I've tried to put my foot down for 34 years, and when I do, it just sprains my ankle.
I mean, 32-inch, that's just...
Someday, Landry, you'll be married.
That will never
happen. And you'll
happen.
Learn the two most important words
will never
are
happen.
Yes and dear.
Never. That will never happen. You got to draw the line somewhere.
Draw the line in the sand like... Wait, Colonel William Travis did, and look what happened to him.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? I don't know. What happened
to him? It didn't end well.
What happened to him?
Slaughtered.
Yeah,
why'd he get slaughtered? What'd he do?
It was the Alamo.
Colonel William Travis. You've heard of the Alamo, right?
Remember the Alamo, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Davy Crockett. Yeah. John McClain with us.
He drew a line in the sand that's famous, and he got slaughtered.
Did you, because I think that you do a good job of this, John McClain with
well, thank
us, presented
you.
By Horn Solutions. You do a good job of a lot of things except showing some nuts when it
thank
comes
you.
To your TV viewing. Do the Texans cross your mind when you're watching these games? Are
of
you
course.
Able to separate yourself? Yeah, because I'm always looking at it localized.
A team actually runs the ball? Now, the thing that gets me the most, and I tweeted this at the end of the day, just 2 years ago, Texans beat Josh Allen and Buffalo in the wild card round, had a 24-point lead at Arrowhead Stadium. Now the Chiefs have won a Super Bowl, the Bills are on their way to a Super Bowl, and the Texans are down the toilet. In two seasons.
Yeah.
In two seasons.
I think about that, and then I think about the running game, an offensive lineman that kick butt up front and open holes and backs that if they can't find a hole can make one or get outside, and that's why the running game is the most important priority for Nick Caserio to fix in the offseason.
I think it's an easy fix. Like, first of all, don't bring in 30-year-old running backs. I put this stat out. There are 16 running backs on rosters championship weekend. The oldest one is 29. It's Jerick McKinnon. You have a second-round back in Joe Mixon, and they've drafted four guys recently. Cam Akers was a second-round pick. They traded a fifth and sixth for Sony Michel. They used Debo Samuel, Elijah Mitchell. They also drafted Trey Sermon in San Francisco. Like,
It's a really easy fix. Don't get guys who are as old as balls at running back and like invest, like pay some attention to it.
I never thought easy. Rex Burkhead would make the 53-man roster. He was coming off.
He was their best running back, John.
He was coming off ACL surgery, and they thought they were going to get something out of David Lindsay and Mark Ingram, and then Johnson was third, and Burkhead was fourth. And then because of circumstances, he ended up number one, and I think he'll be back next year at number three.
That's fine. But you got it. You have to do something about this. And I think it's easy. Second round, third round, figure it out. Because this talk about we want to run the ball, we want to run the ball. Y'all don't want to run crap. You have Rex Burkhead and Mark Ingram at running back, and you have David John. You don't want to run a damn thing. So if the next coach goes up there and says, we want to run the ball, and they have the ghost of Emmitt Smith up there and the ghost of Eric Dickerson or something like that, then they can shut up about it. Because that was one of the most frustrating things. If you're using those running backs, you don't want to run the ball. Fix it, Nick, please.
When they didn't bring Duke Johnson back, he had twice as many 100-yard games this season as the Texans did. Burkhead had that one against the Chargers, and he had two. I thought Philip Lindsay, you know, sometimes when teams don't want players, it's for a reason. But I thought Lindsay would be good, and then you know he was running east west instead of north south, and when you change your coach and your players, and you go from 31 to 32, mm-hmm. you know that is as I said, if Nick Caserio doesn't get this fixed, they don't have to jump up and be in the top 10. Just don't be 31st or 32nd, get in the upper half. Then he is derelict in his duties, and any coach they hire, that's got to be a priority for him as well.
Getting back to the crazy, incredible weekend that we just saw.
Wow.
I guess we have to eliminate Chiefs-Bills because nothing's going to be able to compare that to that. That might, and we'll get to that later.
And the ending of it.
It was
a great game. There have been a lot of great games. But the ending in the last two minutes, what those quarterbacks did.
What was your biggest surprise outside of that, the last 2 minutes of that game?
Was the Titans getting 9 sacks, beating up on Joe Burrow, and being so awful on offense and losing a game they should have won. You get 9 sacks, you ought to win. Now, things I thought about, Titans are trying to beat the Texans to get home field advantage. They got 2 sacks. Mm-hmm. And yet Cincinnati looked like they're never blocking anybody. Jeffrey Simmons, for some reason, left out of the Pro Bowl by the nincompoops who vote, players, coaches, and fans. He's taking it out. He took it out on the opposing quarterbacks, including Joe Burrow. And I thought that I love watching Burrow and their offense. Their defense is underrated. You know, they beat the Chiefs in regular season, come from behind victory. But I've never seen a team get 9 sacks and lose.
It's never happened since 2000. First time since 2000 that it's happened. It's never happened in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. How much money is Jeffrey Simmons going to get, by the way?
When his contract's up, and you remember the controversy surrounding him, he had been suspended in college for hitting a woman, and there was video. And then when the Titans analyzed the video, it was a group of people, and his sister was getting her butt whooped by another mm-hmm. bigger woman, and everybody's trying to tell her to stop, and she wouldn't stop. So I think showed Simmons go over there and pull her and bop her.
Damn,
and so
that's a tape session right there.
That was the
picking down film.
They checked into it. They found out he had nothing else like that. They listened to him.
Film session.
They had to convince Amy Adams Strunk.
I know you're watching the same film I watch.
Take
Come
Jeffrey
on now,
Simmons, and he's been a model player. Man, he is a great player. He's going to be the highest paid interior pass rusher or interior defensive lineman in NFL, maybe NFL history, because he's. Great.
He's great. And the other thing about it is I think he's another example because you look at some of these guys that got injured. Ohio State had, you know, a receiver get injured that's going into the draft. You had Williams get injured at Alabama. Like, I don't know how much a torn ACL during the college season factors in because I know Waddle got hurt last year and Waddle was the best rookie receiver, but Jeffrey Simmons is an example of A, giving a guy another chance, a young man another chance, and B, a guy falling into your lap because of an injury as well that had no business being there. No business. I remember John Harris, as soon as it happened, I texted him. I said, how the hell did Simmons fall to the Titans? And John Harris said, dude, that sucks for us.
It sure does.
One of the things it doesn't change anything now when you got a torn ACL. Everybody comes back. What's bad is if you have, like, back surgery, neck injury, something like that, that people come back from, but there's people that don't. Last year, the Titans got a corner that would have been number one in the draft, way down at the bottom of the first round, Caleb Farley, and I don't know how much he played. I know he was hurt sometimes, but they expect that next season he'll be really good, and they took a chance on him because they could. And they got some guys that are good free agents. Harold Landry had 12 sacks. He's unrestricted. Don't know what their cap situation is, but
not great.
They've got some players that they want to keep, and Nick Caserio has to find a guy like Denico Autry, who was at Indianapolis. He had, I think, 9 sacks. He had 2 in the against the Bengals, and you got to get people to help that pass rush.
All right, Niners, Packers, were there any big surprises there for you? And what do you think Aaron Rodgers' legacy is going to be?
I think Rodgers will be back, I think, with the Packers. I think he'll get a contract extension. He has 1 year left. I read it. John Kuhn, his former fullback, who's really tight with him, all through the offseason when Rodgers was all the speculation he might not be back, every interview he did, he said he will be back. And he said the other day he and Brian Gutekunst have become friends. He will be back. And I don't speculate. A guy like Tom Brady's not going to retire after
sure?
that performance. Yeah, that's what I believe. I listened to him last night with Jim Gray on.
God, Jim Gray was crying.
What's that show?
Let's go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's
Jim Gray acted like Tom Brady never gets calls.
Most guys, yeah, you're right. He did.
Tom, that's what I think about it.
What
I'm
going
to say
think?
This. The referees need to not insert themselves in the game. Yeah, how about the tuck row in that pass, that rough and passer in the AFC Championship game a few years ago?
I think that, you know, the fact they're 7-7 in their last 14 playoff games at Lambeau Field is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And I think about all the years that he and Brett Favre were the quarterbacks, and they've won only 2 games. You know, they're 2 of the greatest in history. But I can't imagine he'd want to walk away after a performance like that in which he was mediocre. I watched some guys showing, like, we went deep one time, Devontae Adams double-covered when he had tight end wide open over the middle, mm-hmm. shorter. He was going for the hero play, and I do not expect him to retire or play with another team, but I'm still blown away.
You don't think he's going somewhere else?
No. He's got a year left on his contract. They'd have to agree to let him go, but I just can't imagine he wouldn't want to stay in a division he just totally dominates.
Why wouldn't they want to trade him, though?
Because they've seen Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And I don't think – and wait,
no,
he
I'm
might turn
you.
Out to be Aaron Rodgers. They didn't know what they had – for 3 years with Rodgers while he backed up Brett Favre. And then
they learned.
I remember his first year as a starter, his 4th year, Texans beat him in Lambeau Field. I was there. It's 3 degrees. Coldest game Texans have ever played in. Chris Brown hit a great winning field goal. And nobody thought he was going to be special. And all of a sudden he started to get special, then more special. Now he's going to win his 4th MVP award. I mean, he is worshipped up there.
Yeah, and he should be, but my thing is, like, he has 1 year left. It seems like every year there's, like, the uncertainty. You have the bad cap situation. Denver, they might hire his offensive coordinator. Peyton Manning only had 1 Super Bowl before he went to Denver, and he appeared in a couple of more, got another one. Like, couldn't it be beneficial to both sides to maybe part ways, send Aaron Rodgers to Denver, get a few first-round picks, and then just begin life without Aaron Rodgers? Because doesn't it seem like it's heading in that direction anyways?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
My opinion is no, and I don't think they get a few first-round picks for a guy who's going to be 39 years old who spit the bit in the playoffs so many times.
Oh, wow.
I think that they would be spread out over 3 years, whatever they could get. In Denver, do they want to mortgage the future for a quarterback who might not get, if he couldn't get to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row at 13-3? And they don't need to sell tickets. You know, there's a lot of teams you need to ignite the interest from the fan base.
I'm not familiar with that.
Giants, the Lions, the Texans, of course, and there's others. But Denver's not one of them because the Broncos sell out every game.
They just want a quarterback. But I'm not saying Denver's done. I'm not saying
they were all in on Deshaun Watson before. Maybe if Rodgers is available, they'll be all in on him.
So there's the case against Aaron Rodgers being a Hall of Famer from John McClain here on Sports Radio.
Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer, just like he's going to win his fourth MVP.
What do you think about the other games? The
Bucks.
Sunday
I was
going to
ask Bucks and Rams.
How about Bucks Rams? How about the Rams just being scared of the Tom Brady mystique and wetting the bed and wetting themselves?
I thought Todd Bowles going with a zero blitz in that situation was a terrible call.
Well, two guys didn't and see they, it. Two guys didn't see it.
Then don't
the
put them in a situation where they don't get it. But leaving Cooper Kupp like that down the field, they deserve to lose. And it's amazing to me that Matthew Stafford's got to be the happiest player in the playoffs.
I'm happy for him.
It's like Aaron Rodgers ought to be the saddest. He should be the happiest. And the happiest coach should be Sean McVay. We talked last week. Those two are under more pressure going into the playoffs than anybody. Stafford because he never won a playoff game, only been in three, and McVay because he'd gone all in. And I had seen a thing before the last game they played against the Niners that McVay might leave coaching and go to the broadcast booth. And I'm like, what? Nobody's heard anything like that. And right now he may win a Super Bowl. I think it's so exciting for a team never to win a Super Bowl, never to play a Super Bowl in the home stadium. So the Bucks do it. The Rams have a chance to be the first team to play championship game and Super Bowl, and they just might win one of them.
It's going to be fun. We got the popcorn going, and if you can hear it.
Get that popcorn out.
Oh, it's there. It's there. Get me some butter because I want to hear what John McClain has to say about the Texans coaching search. Was interviewing Josh McCown for a second time in a year disrespectful? John McClain weighs in on that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.